do-si-do. She rocked back on her heels, dropped down to her knees, crawled across the floor, then she jumped back on her feet. She wiggled and she jiggled, beat all you ever saw. Said, this is how you do the watermelon crawl. She said, we got 100 gallons of sweet red wine. If you're ever down in Georgia around about July, if you ain't in a hurry, then you ought to stop by.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A deadly crash outside a concert venue in Rochester, New York. Three people are dead, others injured after an SUV full of gas canisters started speeding toward pedestrians but struck a smaller SUV and burst into flames. Rochester Police Chief David Smith.
One pedestrian has suffered life-altering injuries. The rest should make full recoveries.
But it's believed more pedestrians would have been hit had the two cars not collided. A deadly plane crash in Tokyo, a Japan Airlines plane crashing into a Japanese Coast Guard plane as it was landing, bursting into flames. All five people on board the Coast Guard aircraft were killed. All of the nearly 400 on the airliner evacuated and survived. Dozens killed in a 7.6 magnitude earthquake in western Japan. Another Ivy League university president is out after controversial testimony before Congress. Harvard President Claudine Gay resigning today. At just over 6 months, hers was the shortest tenure of any president of Harvard University. This is ABC News. Israel's Supreme Court today ruled against judicial reforms that had set off months of protests against Benjamin Netanyahu's government before the October 7th attacks by Hamas.
Israel's Supreme Court striking down a new law that removed the reasonableness standard from judicial review. It's a decisive blow to efforts by Prime Minister Netanyahu to significantly weaken the courts here. In her majority opinion, the outgoing president of the court, Justice Esther Hayut, arguing the law harms Israel's democratic character, damaging the separation of powers and the rule of law. That conclusion, the same one that drove hundreds of thousands of Israelis into the streets for months to protest this law. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Customs and Border Protection announced today that it seized half a ton of methamphetamine and 165 pounds of cocaine in a refrigerated truck entering the U.S. at Laredo, Texas last month. CBP estimates the intercepted drugs had a street value of more than $10 million. Dave Packer, ABC News.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Republican lawmakers have asked the state Supreme Court to reconsider a finding that Wisconsin's legislative district boundaries are unconstitutional.
The court ruled on December 22nd that the current legislative district boundaries are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous. However, attorneys representing numerous state Senate Republicans filed a motion with the court last week. They say they can't meet a January 12th deadline for new maps. The motion also also argues the Supreme Court did not listen to their arguments in the case, nor did it give them a chance to respond to the deadline for the new boundaries. The State Elections Commission has said new maps must be in place by March 15th in order to be used for the 2024 election. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Three people were arrested and an Amber Alert kidnapping was ended on Saturday in Iowa County.
Iowa County deputies say a vehicle that was part of an Amber Alert out of Indiana was spotted at a gas station in Barneveld. The vehicle left the station and Dodgeville police stopped the car on U.S. 151. An 11-year-old who had been abducted in Indiana was rescued, and three people inside the car were taken into custody based on warrants from Indiana. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Celebratory New Year's gunfire in the Milwaukee area breaks through a wall of a toddler's bedroom. Glendale police say a stray bullet hit a home there after midnight Monday and ripped through a bedroom of that home just above a crib where a one-year-old boy was sleeping. Boy's mother, Marie Moore, tells Fox 6 Milwaukee she and her husband, Tim, didn't see the bullet hole and dent in the walls until they woke up Monday morning.
It's a nightmare. No parent should ever have to go through this. Not your child's room, not right above the crib.
No one in the home was injured from the incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures rising into the mid-30s. By this afternoon, we'll be battling a breezy southwest wind, and overnight, a cold front starts to push in, bringing chances of flurries by tomorrow morning, which could linger throughout tomorrow afternoon. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. It's 27 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Do list as long as it's dealing with.
Live from 2024 via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with our own Jim Wiesmeyer. Then it's Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University. And directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
You're back, Davis.
Happy
welcome
New Year,
back.
Buddy.
Happy Woo-hoo. New Year, bud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everything good?
Everything's great.
Fantastic.
Really good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Love to hear it. We've got kind of how am I going to say no to 29 degrees? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cloudy, but the wind's not blowing.
Okay.
We don't have a, 3 foot of snow on the ground.
Sure.
How am I going to say no to this? I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't know. And even if you did, try it. It's not going to help. It's not going to change anything. No. You're stuck.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Looks
Very
like there's
recourse.
Some snow heading into the, the Ohio River Valley and up into the Northeast later this week that we're going to have to keep track of. That could be some tough conditions over there. But for the upper Midwest, Davis, there just isn't a whole lot of precipitation in the outlook, not at this point.
Yeah, we're dry here in the Midwestern subtropical region.
Right, right. So I haven't even had a chance. Did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas?
I did.
Wow.
All the children held hands and shared a Coca-Cola and sang. and that was really all I've ever wanted,
Yep. Yep. Did you get seconds on the beef?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
And thirds and fourths.
All right. All right. That's fantastic. Good for you. You got to look at what really counts, what really matters, don't you?
Consumer demand for beef in this household has not backed off. We're keeping an eye on it.
Good deal. Yeah, no doubt. If we keep track of beef demand at your place, my place, and Brian Grady's place, if you look at those three combined, if the beef demand starts to back down, then we've probably got some big problems out
there. Then we're in trouble. Yep.
Yeah.
That's how we'll know.
All right, buddy, let's get to the news.
I'm going to start with the National Weather Service weather outlook, which says a Pacific system will bring coastal and lower elevation rain and mountain snows to California and the Pacific Northwest Tuesday, spreading into the Great Basin and Southwest tomorrow. Moderate to locally heavy rainfall expected with showers and thunderstorms for portions of Texas and the Gulf Coast. Lake effect snows downwind from the Great Lakes over the next couple of days. Look out, South Bend, lake effect snows, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. And down into the Ohio River Valley, that's what we were talking about. But this could be a significant event for areas east of the Mississippi River.
Well, Chip, all three major stock indices eased lower on the final trading day of 2023 in light trading volume. Despite the lower finish, all three notched solid gains for the year. The Dow was up 14%, S&P 500 gained 24%, and Chip, the NASDAQ rose 43% on the year.
Yeah, right now we've got the Dow up slightly, the S&P 500 is down a bit, and the NASDAQ is down 243 points, so a bit of a, you know, giving back some of that 43%.
Yep. Well, the price of oil increased after a continuous decline over the past four trading sessions as Iran dispatches a warship to the Red Sea following an incident in which the U.S. Navy destroyed three Houthi boats. In response, the price of West Texas Intermediate crude futures surged by more than 2%, bringing it to a level above $73 per barrel. Chip, we backed off slightly from there. But there's some risk premium that is sneaking into the crude oil.
Yeah, as there should be. We'll talk more about what's going on in the Red Sea with Wiesmeyer coming up in the next segment.
And now for a story that neither of us knows anything about. Bitcoin began the new year by scaling new heights, surpassing 45,000 for the first time since April 2022. Amid growing expectations, the SEC could approve a spot Bitcoin ETF as early as next week.
See, I don't understand. See, the Bitcoin, part of the attraction is that it's an relatively unregulated market. Well, the addition of regulation to this market with an ETF is making it more attractive. I don't know.
I don't know either. California's Proposition 12 has officially become law, marking the culmination of over 6 years of political efforts by animal activists. Prop 12, which was passed by California voters in 2018, imposes strict regulations on the sale of food products derived from farm animals that are not raised according to specific standards. The USDA has modified a weekly report on hog marketings to show the premium that was being paid for hogs raised in compliance with animal confinement legislation. In late December, that premium was an average of $4.92 per 100 pounds.
That is a number that we're going to have to track very closely to see if there is enough financial incentive to put enough compliant pork out onto the market.
Well, in December, China's official purchasing managers index for the manufacturing sector fell to 49. That's down from 49.4 in November. This marks the third consecutive month the PMIs remain below the critical 50 threshold. The services sector in China showed a similar trend. And finally here, Chip, Tesla has lost its position as the world's most popular maker of electric vehicles to Chinese rival BYD. Over the past year, Tesla sold just shy of 500,000 EVs, while China's BYD sold around 3 million, Chip.
Yeah, not even close.
Not even close.
In the tally there. That's the surprising thing about it. All right, thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Chip.
All right, well, hopefully it will be a better new year this year than what it was last year for some of the operations in the upper Midwest.
Well, we're not off to a good start, Chip. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not a new surprise. The dairy industry is struggling. You got $16 and $15 milk. It really doesn't cut it. I used to say that $20 milk is what we needed. But with the inflation impact, it's more like $23. So farms are obviously losing money. I found out that in Minnesota lost 58 dairy farm permits, in November. So Minnesota Milk tells me that there's a lot of noise in these numbers because they can be shifted a month early or late. But still, over 50 farms in November, hasn't happened since 2007. So I think what's happening, Chip, is that unfortunately, we're going to see more farms going out. When you look at a strong beef price and the uncertain milk futures, some of them are probably had a 3 to 5 year that plan that they were going to exit. And with the outlook the way it is, that's pushing them out sooner.
Yep. Yeah. The outlook the way that it is, plus what they can get for those cows into the coal market. Yeah. It's that.
Well, hanging on longer is just losing equity, you know, and we had programs like DMC and DRP that paid out well this past year. But for most producers, it still was a struggle. And so, unfortunately, when you look at the class three prices for early part of 2024, it's not good. So it's adding pressure. So there's a lot of conversations happening around the kitchen table on what's the outlook of our farm.
Yeah. And in many cases, those conversations are not going to be happy conversations. No question.
Unfortunately, no. Yeah.
Yep. That's right. Karen, good stuff. Thank you so much for that perspective. Happy New Year, and we'll keep up. All right.
Right. Thanks, Tim.
All right. Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Melt. Speaking of keeping up, we are going to do just that with everything that happened over the weekend. And we're going to lay out a schedule for the next several weeks. We got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, next here on AgriTalk.
U.S. dairy exports have quadrupled, both in value and volume, over the past 20 years. That's because your dairy checkoff is working through organizations like U.S. Dairy Export Council to grow demand and preference for our products worldwide. And that is making every drop count. See why that matters at usdairy.com/4-farmers.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-27.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
You suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this first day of trade, first day of work in 2024. January 2nd, 2024. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Launching right into it with Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. Hey, Happy New Year, Jim.
Happy New Year. I'm tired. I watched that Washington-Texas great game last night.
Yeah, I watched that one, too. I didn't know how that one was going to end up there at the very end. I kind of figured that Texas was going to find a way to put the ball in the end zone, but didn't get her done.
I liked both teams.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it was a more fun game to watch than a game that, you know, quite frankly, I think a lot of people really didn't want any either team to win in the Bama-Michigan game.
Yeah, and unbelievable, the Alabama coach, who, of course, is famous, I think he made a couple bad calls.
Yeah. Yeah, it was it was an interesting game. That final play of that Bama ran was kind of a head scratcher. It really was in regulation.
Yes. So, yes.
Yep. Yep. Did you learn anything from the NFL?
Well, Dallas shouldn't have won their game. It's the referees. The NFL referees have to regroup. They've been very bad this year.
Yeah. Yeah. But Baltimore is.
Oh, Baltimore is. Yeah, they're on a surge.
Yeah, they're the team going into the playoffs that's going to be the team to beat. So, and you know, the Niners came back after rough outing in the last game and did really well out there. So,
yeah,
it was a good weekend. Good weekend for sitting back and taking in the sports and taking in a little bit of beef, huh?
Oh, a lot of beef. I made an 8-pound pot roast. Didn't eat it all, though. But we also had a long weekend of international events, Chip.
Yes.
That's got big focus on the markets now.
Right, right. So let's start with the latest that you're hearing. And I want to start with the happenings from the weekend. The latest that you're hearing from Japan, because that 7.6 magnitude earthquake, obviously it got the market's attentions.
Yes, and because it could spread, you know, something like that has economic damage, and of course, and that can get into the world economy, which is so important to trade.
That's right.
You know, that's the bottom line right there.
Yeah, yeah. What else from the hot spots that are out there? Ukraine, the Middle East.
Well, on the Middle East, it's Iran dispatched, although it's an aging warship, they did dispatch one to the Red Sea, Chip. That tells me that'll give the Houthis even more spirit to continue their dastardly ways there. So we're not out of the woods on this one. The U.S. must have a better response against the Houthis, and they're not yet.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. did take out some of the Houthi pirate ships, I would call them.
Yeah, three of them. But it's just not enough. Most of the analysts at all levels, Chip, are saying not enough. We just need to be more aggressive because they'll keep challenging.
Yeah. Okay. They're not back yet. Congress is not back yet. But let's go ahead and jump to this. One of the first things they're going to take up is whether or not there's going to be additional spending support for Israel, right?
Yeah. Well, you still have that's linked for both Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. But it's linked to a controversial language that the Republicans in the Senate are not backing off of, Chip. They want a significant border security language, not just funding. And it looks like they have leverage on this one. I think it'll eventually go, Chip. I think there will be some funding approved, and the Republicans may not get everything they want, but even the White House is starting to signal compromise on this issue. So yes, I think they'll get that done.
Okay. So the compromise language on the border, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean enforcing the laws that are already on the books?
Some of them, but not all. They won't go that far yet. But some asylum language and other aspects to keep more of these migrants out of the U.S. and in say in Mexico. And you saw that meeting with top Biden administration officials in Mexico last week, I guess it was. Yes. But that didn't go well here in the United States because they even talked amnesty for all these illegals that have come in over the last year or two.
And that's a big number, dude.
It's a big number. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. again over the weekend.
Let's put the market significance to the Mideast one, as you saw, although it goes up and down all the time. But U.S. crude oil and Brent oil really surged initially on the developments, Chip. So it's got the market attention.
Yeah, it certainly does. And like Davis said in the news, crude oil is backed well off of the highs. February contract is now down 60 cents, down at 71.05. This crude oil market, the willingness to discount some of the happenings that are taking place in the Middle East, I don't know if it's just kind of arrogance of the market or just confidence that none of this is going to turn into a global issue for crude oil movement. I'm surprised that the market isn't reacting more than what it is.
Well, let's hope they're right, because yeah, this thing is fraught with some unintended consequences, and accidents can happen.
Right. Okay. Prop 12 is in full implementation as of today, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And we've got a link to fact sheets on that California put out on that on ProFarmer.com, Chip. But this is just another signal here where the pork industry, which fought this in the Supreme Court level, yeah, they really needed basically the Supreme Court, as we said last week on AgriTalk, told Congress, hey, this is not our issue. We don't want to discuss the price of, and availability of pork chops in any state. If you want to change it, go through Congress. The problem with that is they waited too late. The industry waited too late, both the NPPC and Farm Bureau. And now it's a very controversial thing where a number of states, California and Massachusetts is not the only one. There's probably 12 other states that have similar laws either on the books or about to be on the books, Chip.
Well, and, you know, we're talking about interstate commerce. And the hope or the idea was that an offset to Prop 12 or Massachusetts Q3 would be included in the final farm bill. Well, Jim, it looks to me like odds are growing that we're not going to see a farm bill even in 2024.
No, I think that they're really high that we will not see it, and for a multitude of reasons. We still have the same issues, Chip. They need additional funding. They can't find enough to really adequately improve Title I safety net. Two is that you have issue disagreements on food and nutrition, conservation areas, where to have the funding offsets. And now you have politics thrown into it because House Democrats increasingly believe that they may regain control of the House after 2024 election. So, they're going to slow walk this.
Right, right. A lot of work to get done before deadlines of January 19 and February 2. Are they going to get it done, or are we going to be looking at least a partial government shutdown?
I want to see what their demeanor is when they come back, to see if their constituencies, if they had the time to even listen to them out in the district. I'm talking really about the House. Problem is in the House, Chip. And I'm not going to rule out a government shutdown. I think would be stupid. But this is a Doolittle Congress for sure. And so we don't know. January 19th is four departments, including USDA funding. And the one on February 2nd is eight departments, the vast majority. It's a jump ball right now, and I don't usually say that, Chip. I want to hear lawmakers once they come back.
And they come back a week from today, is that right?
The Senate, January the 8th, the House, January the 9th, yes.
So they got 10 total calendar days to get this stuff done.
Yeah, unless you have another kick the can down the road. Yeah, watch it. It's a lot of question marks, Chip.
Okay, buddy. We'll stay in touch and try to figure out what's going to happen. Thanks. That is Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. What's the attitude among growers out there? We'll find out from Dr. Jim Minter from Purdue University next.
When you're planting, having the right scale system on your bulk fill planter or drill pays for itself. Use Point from ScaleTech to verify proper seeding rates and make money-saving adjustments on the fly. Not to mention, monitor your seed supply with pinpoint accuracy. You could guess, but why? Instead of checking your hoppers manually, keep your tractor moving and let Point do the work. Save time and money with Point. Visit ScaleTech.com to learn more.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Let's welcome back Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Hey, buddy, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Chip.
Yeah, tough way to start the new year in this grain trade.
Yeah, not so happy for the grain markets, that's for sure. Just the soy complex is really getting hammered here. Losses of more than 20 cents in soybeans, meal markets, $7, $8.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Alcivia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Alcivia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Milk markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk down 8 to 15.66. March down 11 to 16.30. April steady at 17.14. May milk down 5 at 17.76. Live in feeder cattle markets, moving mostly higher as the buying interest steps back into the markets as the trade returns to normal after the holiday break. Also, strong pressure in the grain markets helping to support live and feeder cattle prices. Hog markets, meanwhile, are moving up mostly lower as there's additional softness in pork values and cash markets, along with the lack of contraction in the hog markets helping to pressure prices once again today. February live cattle up 372 to 171.77. January feeder cattle up 280 to 225.10. February hogs down 297 to 65 even. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly lower. Soybeans leading the complex sharply lower. Beneficial rains falling in Brazil really pressuring the bean markets along with corn markets. Wheat markets mostly lower. Strength in the dollar is pressuring wheat today. March corn down 8.25 to 463. New crop down 6.25 to 497.25. January beans down 21.5 to 1272. New crop down 24.25 to 1221.5. Chicago wheat March down 19.75 to 608.25.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
A lot goes into powering this community. That's why your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wants you to know we've got you. It's a pledge to make sure you're always taken care of. A pledge we honor every day. From our member service representatives to our linemen and those making sure the power you use is there when you need it. We've got you. Always.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
If we can learn something from what we are looking back at about how the markets and the industry might perform in the future. So I think we can do that.
We ought to at least try. We're here.
let's give it a shot. Dr. James Mintert is a Purdue University ag economist. He is the director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, who, along with Dr. Langemeyer over there at Purdue and the CME Group, puts out the monthly Ag Economy Barometer. And the details of the barometer were released this morning, but that is for December. And to talk about it now is Dr. Jim Mintert. Jim, welcome back.
Happy New Year, Chip.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Wow. Kind of a uneventful update to the report this time, isn't it?
Well, farmer sentiment was pretty stable when you compare it to November. I think maybe the better comparison, though, is to think about what took place during the fall. And that was kind of what you were kind of referencing, I guess, there at the start, looking backwards a little bit. Farmer sentiment bottomed out in September and then actually recovered. A significant recovery as we moved through the fall quarter. So closing out the year at 114, no change from November, but certainly better than we were back in September. I think if you look at the current condition index from September to December, it was up 14%. And I think that reflects something we've been talking about for some time. Farm income in 2023 at the end of the year turned out probably better than people thought it was going to be in late summer. Both from a yield perspective and at least for some of the crop that got sold at some of the stronger prices, notwithstanding what took place this morning, obviously.
Right. But it was mostly more bushels than what they anticipated, right?
Yeah, I think. And I think the other thing you and I've talked about in the past is the fact that you had a stronger yield, a better experience driving the combine, for example, than you expected. That does kind of boost sentiment, right? You and I know that from our own experience farming, and I think when I talk to farmers, that's one of the things that comes out. The fact that yields were better just makes people feel a little bit better about what took place in 2023, and I think our sentiment index picked that up.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, one of the unique things that we can do at the end of the year is compare year to year on how the index and farmer attitudes might have changed. Take us back to December of 22. How do things line up?
So the overall sentiment index is lower. It was down, I think, about a dozen points compared to December of 22. And if you think about it, farm income in 2023, although better than we thought it was going to be in late August, for example, right, when USDA issued one of their farm income forecast, still lower than what it was in 2022. And 2022 was record high. So the fact that the sentiment index is down compared to a year earlier makes a lot of sense. That showed up as well with respect to lower values for both the current condition index and the sentiment for future expectations as well. Farm financial performance is kind of interesting. If you go back to 2022, again, we're down about, I think, roughly a dozen points. Last year, it was 109. This year, 97. But again, as we talked earlier, that sentiment index with respect to farm financial performance actually bottomed out back in May at a reading of 76. So it's actually substantially stronger than what people thought earlier in the year. You compare it to September, it was 86. So we're up about 11 points compared to September. So that's really the shift that we're seeing. I think people expected to see a worse year than what they thought, than what actually happened here in 2023. 2023 is not as good as 2022, but if you look at it from a historical perspective, it's still a good farm income year. And I think our survey is kind of picking that up a little bit.
Yeah. For the row crop producers out there, 23 was a bit of a transition year, but those bushels coming in or the yields coming in better than what they feared they might be, it added a little cushion to the transition year. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I mean, we're walking into 2024 with expectations for reduced farm income relative to 2023. But we're walking into it with a strong balance sheet, coming off a pretty good income year. People are still in a pretty positive position. And I think, you know, when we start thinking about major assets, for example, farmland, and thinking about people's longer-term farmland outlook, you know, one of the things that probably is coming into play is what in the stock market is sometimes referred to as the wealth effect. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got a pretty positive wealth effect in agriculture right now with respect to how strong people's balance sheets are. And that translating into not only sentiment, but also maybe economic activity going forward.
Yeah. I hope that wealth effect continues for consumers through 2024, because when we look at the consumer resiliency and what they've been able to do for beef demand in particular, I think that can really help out that beef market. But the livestock guys in general, they got to be a little wild-eyed going into 2024, don't they, Jim, because of the pressure on dairy, the pressure on hogs, and the uncertainty in cattle?
Yeah, I think especially the hog sector. I mean, you know, 2023, probably the worst year on record for hog producers. The losses have been horrific. On the cattle side, you know, the interesting thing there is the weakness we saw late in the year, but I still look at what's taking place going forward these next 2 years. I still think the highest prices for fed cattle are still ahead of us. Wow. We haven't turned the corner in terms of rebuilding the herd, and that's typically when we see the biggest rebound or biggest bounce in cattle prices. So I think from a longer-term perspective, there's still some good reasons to be optimistic about cattle, even though things were kind of tough here at the fourth quarter of 2023.
Okay. Okay. What do farmers think about spending some money on the operation?
So, you know, if you think about our Farm Capital Investment Index, not a lot of movement there. I think that index closed the year out at 43. Last year at this time, it was at 40. 2 years ago at this time, it was 49. You go back to 2020, and that index was all the way up at 93. So, yeah. People are not feeling as positive as they were in late 2020, early 2021 with respect to farm capital investments. But again, it's been an improvement. You know, if you go back to the low point of that index here, just a little over a year ago, that index was down all the way to a reading of 30. So we're up 13 points compared to that. It's also climbed a little bit here during the fall. So people are feeling a little bit better about that. And as you look at it, you know, one of the shifts that's taken place when we talk to the people who say it's a good time to make farm investments, and that's a minority of the people in the survey. I think this month it was right around 30% of the people in the survey. Mm-hmm. They're starting to point to some differences there. They're starting to say it's a good time because they're seeing an increase in the inventories on dealer lots, which suggests that maybe there's some better deals out there, some better opportunities to negotiate some prices. So people are starting to focus on that a little bit. The other thing that's interesting, you know, interest rates, about a third of the people in our survey say they think interest rates are going to decline during 2024. And, of course, that'd be positive for investments as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It might make some of that spending in the first part of the year a little lower as they wait for those interest rate cuts later in the year, right?
Well, that could happen, but I think that probably the bigger factor is, do I need it? Do I want to use it in 2024?
Yep.
And if I do, it's available, which is something that wasn't true the last couple of years, right? The last couple
of years,
it was kind of like, put your name on the dotted line and we'll call you when it's ready.
That's right. That is exactly right, man. So that is very true. The interest rates are working with some of the intentions that are out there. That's a good way of looking at it. You mentioned farmland values very briefly earlier. Any changes in the long or short-term outlook?
So if you look at the short-term index, that index really hasn't changed much for about the last roughly 6 months. It's been bouncing around about 125, 126. That's down a little bit compared to last year. I think the reading last year was 129. 2 years ago, it was at 157. If you look at the responses to the question, not just the index itself, you can start to see a little bit of what's going on there. And there has been a little bit of a change over time with respect to what that index is doing on its own. More people, not a large percentage, but more people are telling us that they think farmland values could actually go down in the upcoming year. And if you look at it, especially over these last couple of years, we've clearly lost confidence in the idea that short-term increases in farmland value are going to take place, because the percentage of people saying they expect to see values go up in the next 12 months has been drifting lower for these last couple of years, and that's really continuing unabated. Longer term, people remain relatively optimistic. And, you know, if you think about it from a five-year perspective, that makes a lot of sense. That's essentially the pattern that's been in place for most of the time since the end of World War II.
Yeah. Yeah, the working capital that they've got in their pocket is going to have an influence on that. And obviously, the emotion, it's so hard to quantify the emotion of the land market, because if it becomes available, the attitude is, well, this is going to be my last chance to buy that piece of ground.
Yeah, and we're walking in with a strong balance sheet, and I think those strong balance sheets have a tremendous impact on what people are willing to do with respect to farmland values. So I think, you know, if you're looking for something that would maybe cause a change in attitude, it would be to see some weakening in that farm balance sheet combined with softer income levels, and that would probably put some pressure on farmland values. Right now, it looks like maybe stagnant. And, you know, longer term, if we do see farmland or farm incomes tighten, you know, I still think we could be looking at a top in farmland values, but it doesn't seem to be showing up anytime real soon.
Gotcha. Jim, we sure appreciate these monthly conversations with you, and we look forward to them through all of 24.
Thanks, Chip. Appreciate the opportunity, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. That is Dr. James Minter, Purdue University Ag Economist.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
So you're in the middle of a kitchen update, and you can't tell if that's a faucet stem or a flange. With the Home Depot app, doing doesn't miss a beat. It'll find what you need in a snap, and it'll show you how to find it in store with a tap. Or get it delivered free. For doing that doesn't stop, download the Home Depot app. It's made for doing.
Progressive asks, what do a late night pizza craving?
Pizza place.
Can I get one large pepperoni pizza?
A newly licensed teen delivery driver. A guaranteed delivery time or its free offer, and your front fence have in common?
Uh-oh.
That's my fence!
They can turn your stomach upside down in under 30 minutes.
I'm still getting a tip, right?
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Start learning a new language today at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
The Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes! Go outside, I wanna be. Felt so much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015. Again, 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. Growing up in Oklahoma, I had big dreams of becoming a successful country music singer. But I also knew the odds were against me and that I needed an education to fall back on. Studying never got in the way of my dreams. In fact, school gave me lots of opportunities I wouldn't have had otherwise with my career. Please stay in school and try your best. You never know where a good education might take you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone, and Happy New Year. Chip?
Yeah,
Happy
man.
New Year, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Happy New Year to you, man.
I don't know if you noticed. I wasn't around last week.
You were gone.
I was gone. I was on, gone? On.
Yes, we noticed.
On vacay. Yeah. A bit of serendipity that we have some time in this fourth and final segment here that I can maybe share something with the listeners. Do you think they'd be interested?
Fantastic.
I've put together something that just sort of outlines, it's a window into that week. Okay?
Okay.
So let's go ahead and roll that.
I think so. I lost track of the time with the tinsel and the mistletoe. Having a fine time. Big days ahead. But first, a long nap on the couch. So I set up the train, hung a sock on a nail, and I looked through the cards people sent in the mail. It all felt pretty good. And as far as I knew, it was the first day after Christmas.
That's all that I knew. First day after Christmas. First day after Christmas.
Couple of honeydews, you know. Couple of good long talks with the dog. Couple of days I'm not sure about. Spent more time inside than out.
First day after Christmas. First day after Christmas.
Suddenly it's Tuesday and live via Farm Journal broadcast. Gotta get back, shape it up a little. Get the story straight from the front through the middle. Put down the eggnog, hold on to your cheer. Top off the coffee, forget the reindeer. This is 2024 and who knows what it's for, but we'll find out together. It's the first day after New Year's.
So that's kind of how it went.
Nice. Well,
not
it sounds
bad, right?
Like it was very active.
It was very active, yeah.
Those long talks with the dog.
They're important.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
You got to take time for what's important during the holidays.
Absolutely. Good stuff, man.
I admit, I wasn't always exactly sure what day it was. You know, that's all right. That's okay.
That's right. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
okay. Good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Having said that, dude, did you say, well, they're probably not going to be a farm bill in 2024 either? Did I hear? Was that part of the conversation with Wiesmeyer?
Yeah.
Did I hear that right?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Come on.
Yes, you did. That is the momentum behind No Farm Bill in 24 picked up steam big time last week. We had Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas on the show. I believe that was on Thursday. Asked him about the potential for getting a farm bill done on in 2024. And he almost laughed at me, Davis.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, I don't think we're probably going to get that done. We can get a better farm bill done with a Republican majority in the Senate anyway, is what he said.
Okay.
Is what he said. Yeah. So it looks like it attempting a new to complete the farm bill process in 24. It looks like it's rather low priority, man.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
It's not going to make farm state lawmakers very happy, but I guess what can you do?
Well, and it's the uncertainty of it all.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, we are going to talk about some new risk management policies from RMA and efforts that are underway at the Risk Management Agency to provide some additional risk management tools for the year ahead. We're going to have that conversation tomorrow morning on the show ahead of the Farmer Forum. But I think that if we could get the farm bill done with an improved safety net, I know that takes more dollars, but with an improved safety net and get away from the ad hoc disaster like ERP and PARP and all of that stuff, if we could just get away from that, and this is the message every time a new farm bill is considered, we need to get away from the ad hoc. They make the attempt, but somehow some way halfway through it gets waylaid, and you know, the 2018 farm bill, it wasn't even halfway through. It was, here comes the market facilitation program payments after President Trump hammered down on China and China retaliated against U.S. soybeans. So it is a process that they want to get done. Title I is a big issue. But, of course, nutrition, that is an even bigger issue going into 2024.
Yeah. Unless you're a cattle, we're kind of off to a rough start here. I'm even looking, we were talking about crude at the top of the show here. I'm looking at the February contract off of $1.14 now at $70.51, the March at $70.76. Corn down 8, 7, 6 cents.
Yep.
Soybeans down double digits. Meal and oil lower
25 to 30 cents.
So let's talk about cattle a little bit. Look at this run we're having here.
Yeah.
Just start off the week here.
You know, last week we made the comment that it felt like cattle and even feeder cattle were coiling the spring with that very narrow sideways trading range. And as the market continued to build resistance in the February contract at 170, everybody's attitude suddenly turned from, well, it turned from we can't get through 170 to when we do get through 170, we're going to open up some significant upside potential. Well, here we are. We got the February contract 172.22.5, and plenty of good momentum to the upside in that live cattle market here this morning.
Awesome. Awesome. Charles. We'll take it.
All right, buddy. Hey, we're off and running.
We are.
Did it feel painless? Was it okay?
It felt so good. Felt so right.
Good. Well, we are going to continue the conversation about the cattle market. And I'm sure that Brian Grady is going to want to spend quite a bit of time talking about what's happening in livestock trade. So we'll do that this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, as I said, we've got RMA Administrator Marsha Bunger on, and of course we'll have the Farmer Forum, the first Farmer Forum of 2024, coming your way tomorrow right here on AgriTalk.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today.
brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.